need to sit back and put money into training, and we need to figure out how to do it. We need to figure out how to deal with this quality education for kids in rural and isolated areas. I just can't talk about putting this rule in accuracy in that program and places like that. For that particular group, when we looked at, when we analyzed the test, it was much more than we did. I said it to the State Department, the way to examine the program. When I said that it was at algebra and geometry contrast, it said from what 8th grade math, you know, I said, well, we may be out rural Alaska, but I don't think that, that we're not capable of figuring out the two things. And I think that you know, if you delay the test, then I think that it has to be delayed with real thought. Or I think you'll see back in 3 years, or 4 years, you're going to have the same problem. We don't have no superintendents. We don't have the same stuff. We don't have the same stuff. You know, I've been there for 3 nights from the end of 16. We've got, you know, the next person in the state. And if you can go to other districts where there'll be 50% turnover in the next quarter and 30%. How do you get them to where we need the health workforce? The other thing that's somehow got to be factored into this, and I said it in the recommendations, at some point parents and kids need to be held accountable to become partners with us. For literally years, it's been the focus of them. It's the school's not doing their job. Well, you know, for parents that are engaged with us at the school, parents that do engage with us in partnership, they do pretty well with those kids. Parents that choose not to engage with us don't have the success. But I think you need to sit back and say, what is it exactly going to happen year one, what's going to happen year two, what's going to happen year three? And then you need to get people together and sit back and say, how can we make this work? But if you don't delay it, you know, then one way to sit back and deal with that is let the local schools, you know, give the diplomas that they want, give the state diploma that they recommend. It's a complex problem. I don't have all the answers. But I don't know about trying to work in all of the schools. I just know, I know that we've got our problems in terms of trying to raise the scores that are homeschoolers in math, but we will put together that electronic curriculum that will be based on our standards and we'll raise the score.
As you're well aware, you know, the legislation that established that, I guess, was a sentence long, except the State Department will provide for a competency test. And the Department of Education and State School Board spent 3 years developing this, and the cut scores were set by teachers from across Alaska. And now it appears like there's reasonable support for the reading and writing as what we should expect for our high school students to be able to do. But math is a big contention. Now, math was set by math teachers, and my question to you, and now they're apparently going to change that to from math to arithmetic. My question to you is, do you think that math was set appropriately, and what's your reaction to the quest now to change that to more just arithmetic?
Math is easy. I'm glad we don't have a science test. We have a science teacher on the committee because we'd be requiring kids to take physics and chemistry. I think that it takes. If it's easy for me to do something, then it's going to be. Then I'm going to assume that every kid's got to be able to know, you know, the math that may be higher than what it is every kid needs to know. And how many friends of mine that I graduated from high school with have not passed this competence test and made more money than I have all my life? And they were in the business, but they weren't good in algebra, they weren't good in geometry. And I don't know what, Tim, what's needed. You guys said here's what you have to do, and we set out to see if we could do it. And when we can with some of our kids, I think eventually we'll get to where we can with the homeschool. We can design our own virtual classroom materials that we can do that with. I don't know that we can do that with our residential kids. The thing is that we have there is that we have the school vocational program. Let me show you another thing that just is a... This is the high school graduation qualifying examination test security agreement. Okay? I only want to read one statement out of it. We have to sign this. Ensure that no test question, approved answer is copied by a student, a teacher, anyone else. We can't even look at them anymore like I did 3 years ago. The teacher that teaches the math can't give the math test in the high school. The teacher that teaches English can't give the English teacher the test in the high school. And I understand test security, but are we worried about test security? Or are we worried about raising all kids, all children, to high levels of achievement? If we're worried about raising all children to high levels of achievement, then for Pete's sake, we've got to be able to re-examine those tests like I've done. We need to go, and if they change it, you know, what are we going to continue the same curriculum that we've got? Guess at what's most important for kids to learn? I won't. I'll sit back and notify DOE that we're going to redo what we did. I found where we're going to do it at, and we'll do it. What else could you do? I mean, it's again, we've got, in the state, we've got to rethink about it. What's most important? You know, and if teachers don't, I mean, I think that when they give the test, it ought to be required that every teacher has to give the test, has to take the test. Why shouldn't they? Is it, if I can pass the test and I can't remember the information after I pass it, as we typically have done throughout ages, what difference does it make if I pass the test? What's important is high levels of achievement. My son-in-law works in an engineering firm, and when they get ready to sit back and put a stamp of approval on a project, it has 3 stamps on it. And it's his stamp that he signed off on it, where he has checked every map figured on it, and it's double-checked by 2 other engineers to sit back and make sure that he didn't make a mistake with the other one. And they never rely upon memory. The word of the textbook applies every bit. So that's another, another huge stumble block. Now we can't even look at it. We're so worried about protecting the test at the expense of the kids.
I think maybe the department is worried about the Maryland experience, but I understand. For the committee, last thing I need is more reading, but for those that haven't read the book, it really focuses on your discussion about the bell-shaped curve idea of teaching. There's a wonderful book called The Way It's Supposed to Be, spelled phonetically exposed, and it really focuses on that, how frustrated kids were that were programmed for failure when they were really offered an opportunity to learn. They said, no, the way it's supposed to be, you give me something that I don't do, and then you fail me, and I live down to your expectations, and everybody goes away happy. And it's an incredible thing. I want to leave you with one comment. You mentioned Dr. McCurry, and I hope the advice you get from her in total is a hell of a lot better than some of the stuff that I've read in one particular paragraph, and I'm going to read it for the committee. What's the real agenda here? Urban legislators make no sense that their ultimate goal is to close down rural schools and divert funds to urban schools. That is ultimate crap. And please tell her that for me. She's not listening.
Right.
You absolutely wrote that. And on behalf of this committee and myself, and I'm sure the entire legislature, don't want to close down successful urban schools. We want them to continue to grow and be successful. And that notion that somehow this test is designed to destroy rural schools is, I can't tell you how angry that makes me.
Trying to figure out how to really improve learning for children. That's what's important.
And I've had the privilege to visit Galena. I know how the community buys into their schools, and I think that's, well, I can't say enough to commend the schools and the community for the buy-in that they are making there. I know this does not make you popular with some other school districts, but I want, for the record, to state that I insisted that you come here and speak to us. This was not something you were doing to beat your own breast. And Bright, that I insisted that you come here. I'm very appreciative for the work you've done for the students and for sharing your view with us. I have to agree with your assessment that we're between a rock and a hard place, but that doesn't mean that we should go into not quite agree, as you so eloquently say, what's best for kids. So with that, let me let the committee know that next week we are briefly, we will have a hearing on HB 99. First thing next Wednesday, Rep. McGuire's school discipline and safety. It'll take about a half an hour there. And then we're going to go back to HB 94 and hear from Assistant Attorney General Philip Reeves about the validity and defensibility of the competency test. And we'll also hear from the Disability Law Center regarding their concerns about special ed students. So, again, with our thanks to you and to Galena, I'll sit here and say hello when you get a chance. And to the committee, thank you, and we will stand adjourned.